Welcome to Touchpoint, a podcast dedicated to discussions on digital marketing and patient engagement strategies for hospitals, health systems, and physician practices. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into digital tools, solutions, and strategies that are impacting our industry today. We hope to share a lot of great information with you and have fun along the way. Thanks for joining us. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Touchpoint. Welcome to episode number 296. I am Reed Smith, and I'm just here by myself. No, I'm kidding. But I am going to actually bring Chris in just a minute. But before I do, wanted to give a quick plug for the website, touchpoint.health. Like every week, I'm going to give a quick plug for the TPS report. So if you make it over to the website, again, touchpoint.health, you'll know something called the TPS report up in the top navigation. If you click on that, name, email address gets you a weekly email from us with a few articles to start your week. So just another way that hopefully we can provide a little bit of value to you outside of just this audio recording. You're probably asking yourself, why are you here by yourself? Actually, you're probably not really asking yourself that. However, I will tell you, Chris is actually, as I record this, at ShishMed. ShishMed, again, the Society for Healthcare Strategy and Market Development, which is a subset of the American Hospital Association, the AHA, has an annual conference. Chris is there doing some field reporting, and we're going to use this week to bring you those conversations. So I will take a quick pause here. We'll be back and let Chris kind of walk you through how marketing is helping with recruitment, retention, consolidations of hospitals, vendors, patient experience, all the fun stuff that they're talking about. So quick pause here, and then you'll get Chris on the flip side. Thanks, and we'll see you next week. Chris, in today's digital age, your online reputation, as we all know, is crucial. With customers relying on online reviews, your first impression is also compared directly with your competitors.
Sure is. And Reed, consider this. 86% of patients today read online reviews, and 73% demand that that healthcare provider has a minimum 4-star rating.
Demand. They demand it.
Yeah, they do.
Well, to stand out, choose reputation to help amplify your brand and to build trust. Be the provider of choice in your area, understand patient sentiment, get actionable insights, and even foster patient loyalty.
And look, here's the easy way you could do that. All you need to do is go visit reputation.com/touchpoint. That's reputation.com/touchpoint, where you can download their healthcare online reputation management guide and build a reputation that performs for you. All right, I'm here with Ed Bennett at the ShishMed 2022 conference. Ed, tell us a little bit about yourself for people who don't know.
Okay, well, I've been in the business since the late 90s. Worked at the University of Maryland Medical System for almost 20 years managing their digital program. And that's when I got to know Chris and so many other people. And left a few years ago to start a new business, which is a directory of vendors for our industry called martech.health.
Yeah, it's a great resource for people that are listening in that might want to go visit it. We'll link to it in the show notes for sure. So, Ed, we're here at the conference.
Yep.
And I know you and I have been participating in a lot of different conversations, yeah, talks, whatever.
Yep.
What's one thing that you learned?
Well, I think the main thing that I'm saying, because I'm really focusing on the exhibitors and the vendor space, is how remarkable is the amount of consolidation that's going on. There are several booths here where what used to be four separate companies are now being grouped under one company. So a lot of those mergers and acquisitions going on. I think in a sense it's a good thing. These cycles go, we go back and forth in these cycles. But I think it's ripe for the smaller companies that have very specialized services to group together with other companies so they can provide the entire menu of things that a client needs. But name changes and domain name changes and all that stuff, it gets a little confusing for people.
It sure does. Yeah. And I mean, and I'm thinking about like with hospitals and health systems, they're kind of going through a similar approach, right? About we're starting to come together. I'm wondering if this represents an overall trend as maybe a response to the pandemic. What are your thoughts?
I think it's an overall trend. I think it's been sped up because of the pandemic. pandemic, because of course that puts stress on the vendors, and a horrible stress on the hospitals. So now we have hospitals that have less money to spend, and maybe they can't have the luxury of going to two or three different very specialized firms. They need one place that gives the whole package that might be a little more economical for them. So I think it's a smart move on the vendors. They're kind of responding to the market needs. But it's interesting. And there's also a lot of new vendors here, people I have never heard of before. And they tend to be folks that have been very successful in other vertical markets. And they're now coming to healthcare because they have a solution and think it's a good fit. From what I see, it usually is a good fit. But now they're trying to figure out how do I handle selling something to a hospital.
Right.
So that's a whole education going on there.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah. And I know you've been on the show a couple of times before, and we talked about, like, you know, that sometimes the consolidation of vendors mm-hmm. can result in sort of a not-so-robust environment, right? And then we also talked about outside entrants coming into the marketplace,
yep.
right? So do you think that these represent, like, Uber trends that we're going to be seeing?
Yes, definitely. I think what's happening is that because the consolidation of hospital systems, which has been going on now like 15, 20 years, is still accelerating, and I think what's happening mostly is now small hospital systems are being pulled into larger hospital systems. Well, suddenly you have a marketplace where you have a small group of very, very large entities with much larger budgets. And so now we're seeing a very large marketing agency and ad agencies that are coming in to the health market for the first time, primarily because they now have prospects that can afford them. And so we're going to see, I think, a real shift from the sort of smaller vendor company that we're used to working in this niche space to some of the bunch of larger organizations coming in and trying their hand at this.
That's really great insights, Ed. You know, you're always a font of wisdom here, and you can see the big trends. Being in the industry for so long,
right.
I think we can see those big trends. And we definitely will have you on for like a deeper conversation
That'd
a little
great.
Later about this. But why don't you mention again where people can find more about you.
Okay. Well, go to martech.health, and you'll see a contact page there. I'm Ed at martech.health. And check it out. Let me know what you think.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. I'm here at Shishman 2022 with Justin from Monogle. Justin, you've been on the show before, but maybe just really briefly, just tell people who you are, what company you work with.
I'm part of Monogle, one of the principals, and oversee our work in healthcare. We're a brand experience agency. We work across insight, strategy, and experience creation for healthcare and outside of healthcare as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've been on the show before, share some great insights. There's some great resources. We'll link to your site in the show notes so people listening in can get that. But you know, here we are at this conference. A lot of people are talking about things. What do you think is top of mind? What's the number one thing that you're walking away with?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing across the board, both among the attendees, the people that are participating here, and then also with the goals of many of the providers and what they're trying to do with their internal audiences, external audiences, all about reconnection.
Yeah.
Whether it's reconnecting here with colleagues that you haven't seen for a considerable amount of time, or reconnecting with people from a patient and a consumer standpoint across your markets and geographies. It seems like there's this hunger for reconnection and a deepening of a relationship, both internally with workforce, but also with the people that we serve, the communities we serve.
Yeah, you mentioned two things there, right? The workforce and then the community serve. Let's talk a little bit about the workforce, too,
sure.
because that is a top of mind topic of people around here, right? And I've seen some sessions about that. Re-engaging the workforce. That's a big challenge for health systems, right?
Yeah, it's an incredible challenge. We've never faced some of the labor volatility that we are now facing. And many organizations have to rediscover and reconnect with what they stand for and why their employees should care about it. We've spent so much time building brands for our consumer audiences. It's time to also build that brand for our internal stakeholders as well and make sure that they can connect with it in an easy and very human way.
Yeah, I always think about brand development. I mean, the biggest brand advocate are your own employees, right?
100%. And the best brands are built from the inside out, where you start with employees and build it from their needs and their expectations. They deliver your experience every single day.
Yeah, and you know, organizations, we spend a lot of time understanding our brand and how consumers react to our brand. It's high time for us to use these same kind of tools around research and understanding our own employees and how they perceive our brand, too.
From our perspective, it's one of the shifts that's going to happen in brand building across the board, is that organizations, while we've been so oriented to consumers, we think there's going to be a shift where we're focused first on employees and maybe even prioritizing employees and our workforce before our consumers. That kind of reprioritization could be a really interesting challenge and opportunity as we all build our brands and our experiences.
Right, and you know, I know Monaco does a lot of research around this, and you've worked with organizations both on their own employees, understanding them and bringing that back to their brand work, but also with consumers. Consumers are not important, right? They're still prioritized here, right?
Absolutely, 100%, but I think we tended over the last maybe 10 or so years to put those consumers at maybe 80, 90% of that prioritization. I think we're going to see more balance. I think it'll be 50-50. What do our consumers need? What do our employees need? Not only our employees now, but our staff of the future. And let's find a bit more balance in the force, so to speak.
And that's the sweet spot, right? If we could develop a brand that can appeal to not only people that are working there, but also to people utilizing our services, that makes us a really powerful dynamic healthcare organization, right?
More dynamic, more powerful, and more connected. And again, it gets back to that hunger that people have for reconnection. That's what we're trying to get to.
Justin, thank you so much for all your time. And this great, some great insights. I appreciate spending a few minutes with you.
Great to see you, Chris.
Coming soon from Greystone, Bowstring, and Touchpoint Media, live from HCIC, a new podcast that brings you front row access to the latest innovative strategies that are shaping tomorrow's healthcare industry. In this 12-part series, as recorded live at the Healthcare Internet Conference, we'll hear from industry experts such as Paul Mattson of the Cleveland Clinic, Kathy Smith of Roper St. Francis Healthcare, David Feinberg from Mount Sinai Health System, Rose Glenn from Michigan Medicine, and many others. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting platform. This podcast series is brought to you by Greystone.net, Bowstring, and Touchpoint Media.
All right, I'm here with Reba Thompson from Writer Girl. Reba, this is your first time on the show.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, and you're not new to us, though. We know you. We've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
But people listening in may not know what company you're with. Why don't you tell them a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. I'm with Writer Girl & Associates. We are a content consultancy. We work across the entire healthcare ecosystem, providing strategy services, writing services, anything on the content spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Reba, we're here at Shishman 22.
This is my 11th year.
11th year.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've seen a lot of things come and go.
Absolutely.
What are you hearing that's the newest topic du jour? What are people talking about?
Yeah, I think coming off the pandemic, looking at the great resignation, everybody wanting something new, wanting something different, feeling stifled of the last 2 years, and now it's leaving all of these marketing departments, communication departments, digital departments, with a ton of vacancies, and that is vacancies in FTEs, vacancies in skill sets, and they're really looking for, how do I keep the lights on? How do we get our workload completed temporarily while we're hiring, which, you know, the hiring process takes forever.
Yeah.
So a gap could be 3 to 6 months. How do we fill that, just that gap, and continue the momentum? So I'm hearing a lot about that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit, because I think, When we talk about this great resignation, right, one of the things that I've noticed is people that are in the marketing, in my case, digital marketing space, there's a lot of opportunity for them right now to kind of find other alternative places to work, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. New. And it's really interesting. People like yourself are representing healthcare organizations that they don't even live in the same half of the country. You can now work for an organization for the first time ever. A colleague of mine, she lives in Columbus, and her health system is in Virginia. And
right.
She's working in Columbus, and she travels a few times a month. And so that's a whole other new dynamic that this offers us, right?
Right.
Opportunity that's not just where we live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's opportunity across the entire spectrum and country.
Right. And then we also have all these, like, outside entrants coming into our space.
Yeah.
And so they're looking to hire
marketers, content writers, digital people to fill their... And it becomes really a bit of a challenge for organizations to retain their staff and also, you know, attract newer people to come work for them, right?
Right, absolutely.
So what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go a little bit further with that because, you know, sort of the work that you do, your organization does, and what I do, my team does, we're very specialized too, right?
Very niche. Like,
we're a very niche part of a kind of an integrated marketing communication structure. And I guess in your case, you do a lot of work that's even outside of marketing and communications, right? Yeah. So, you know, what would be your advice to people that are working in hospitals and health systems right now as they're looking at their team and maybe considering, hey, maybe some of my team is a little bit, you know, potentially at risk of going.
Yeah.
How do you keep them energized? What would you recommend to them? Because you do that there at Writer Girl.
Yeah, I think you just got to seize the moment. I mean, I think more than ever, culture is super important. And culture doesn't mean culture as a team. It's individual needs, right? What you need and what I need are completely different things.
Right.
And so it's tuning in as a leader to the culture of the team, but also the culture of the individual. What does each person on your team need to be successful, to feel valued, to feel heard, to feel like they matter in their job and that they're making a difference and that they're an important part of the team? And that it does go down, in my opinion, to a very individualized effort. You can't take that effort across your department. It has to drill down to each individual.
Right, exactly. And really get them to enjoy what they're doing, right? I think I was talking about earlier with some colleagues about finding the purpose, right? The purpose of what we do. Healthcare is a very purpose-driven industry. Yet it seems that through the last couple of years, because of all of the things that have gone on, that sense of purpose has kind of slipped away from us.
Yeah, it's because there was no time to re-energize around the purpose, right? And the demands were so great, and the immediacy of crisis communication and crisis digital solutions and crisis everything. There was no space. There was no time for the deep work, for the creative thinking, for the reigniting the reason why we're all doing this.
Right.
To like better the healthcare community, to empower the healthcare conversation, to help people make better decisions, to change health disparities, to all of the things that really, really why we all started in marketing and in healthcare. Because we could be doing retail.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, which, you know, that's fine.
You could be writing social media posts for Coke,
right,
you know?
Right.
But this is really purpose-driven, right?
Yes.
And so kind of tapping back into that. Okay, so now you work with a lot of organizations. Your company is sort of an augment of what they do, or sometimes you wholesale kind of support their content.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, because that's also the dynamic of we're going to bring in some outsiders to help us. That could also cause a little bit of a, challenge maybe, is that too strong of a word?
Yeah, I think... Again, people can be territorial, right? They're of their job and their workload, and is somebody going to come in and take my things and take charge? And I think so. We have a unique opportunity to be complementary.
Yeah.
And no, it's not about doing what you're doing. It's about taking it one step further, or allowing you to do what you love, and maybe what you don't love, we do.
Right.
And giving people the space to do that. And but we've had to be really unique in our offerings recently because. Helping fulfill FTEs is not really what we've ever, done before. But so we started some unique, like, 6-month offerings and things to help people just get through that, the hiring process and all that. So we've had to pivot a little bit as well, which is exciting because, again, more work of what we love to do.
Right, right. And, you know, and what's interesting about that is having organizations like yourselves, right, in this space, it helps because... For us working in health systems, the work is not going away. In fact, the demand is increasing. You need to do more.
Right.
Right. So our leaders are saying, you need to do more. You need to do it faster. You need to do this. And having the ability to kind of augment or support, compliment. I like the compliment.
Compliment, yeah.
I'm going to start using compliment instead of augment.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
Creating complementary offerings solutions can really help for us to meet our business goals and also meet the needs of what our organization is, right?
Yeah, and they're not so permanent, right?
Right.
It's not like, oh, we're stuck in this forever, and that's scary too.
Right.
You want to be able to, there's a right amount of in-house, outsource, you know, collaborate between the two, and it's finding that balance, and every organization is different, based on size, based on scope, based on strategic initiatives, efforts going on, But it does allow it to not be so permanent. That I think can be scary for people to be like.
Absolutely. You know. Plus, it's a much quicker to get those people in and help, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the other benefit here. And, you know, I speak for that from like, that extends all over. And it's not like, unfortunately for the nursing staff, you could do that, but those are called traveling nurses and they charge 3 to 4 times, right?
It's not affordable, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not affordable. Yeah. At least in the marketing communication space, there is some affordability and some efficiency with that, so.
And everything that you're getting is pure deliverable. I mean, you're not getting the water cooler talk because that's not what you're paying us for, but your internal staff, you absorb what they say 20% to 30% of it's not working time.
Oh, yeah.
In a FTE's
world.
So you get true production with that time, with those money.
That's awesome.
And the deliverables.
I mean, I think that that's an important thing for us to hear. You know, as we come out of the pandemic, we're feeling all these pressures. We're feeling like we have to, like, perform better, perform faster. And, you know, it's like taking a step back and saying, well, what's the best way we can do this?
Mm-hmm.
What's the right way to do this? I've been talking a lot with, you know, in my organization about what's the hybrid working model look like? And not what I mean by that. It's not just like people working at home and coming in. What I mean is hybrid with our partner vendors.
Professionals across the space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The solution providers and the organizations themselves all coming together to, again, capitalize on that purpose.
And particularly since now marketing and communications is getting into other spaces like recruitment and helping
tons
with, you know.
Internal comm, HR, executive communications, like, because, I mean, through the pandemic, executives have never had to communicate so much in their lives.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just sprawling across nursing, communications, everything.
Everything, yeah.
Everything's about that.
Well, Reba, this has been really great conversation. I really appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell people a little bit more about where they can find more about you and your company.
Oh, absolutely. You can go to the web, www.writergirl.com. Send us an email at hello@writergirl.com as well, and we'd love to chat.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, I'm here with Jeff Spear from Revive Health. Jeff, you and I know each other for a couple of years now,
yes,
right?
Yes, Chris. So, good to be here.
But first time on the show, so tell people a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Jeff. I'm with Revive. I'm on our strategy team and been working in healthcare for way too long, so 22 years on the agency side.
Wow, that's a long time, and you've seen a lot of different perspectives of things that's going on. And you actually presented here at Shishmid.
Yes, I did.
Talk a little bit about that.
Thanks, Chris. We talked about nurses and workforce engagement and really how that should be healthcare marketers' number one responsibility now. Nurses are totally burned out. I think everybody knows that, but marketers, this has been something that's usually been on the HR side.
Right.
But now it really should be the marketing side, because if you think about it, nurses are like consumers and they're trying to pick who their employer is. And if you don't have a brand to nurses, then you're not going to win.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And in fact, you know, I was saying earlier with some other people that a good healthcare system brand appeals strongly to their own employees. And it seems like throughout the last couple of years, maybe it's a pandemic, I'm not sure, but we've really sort of commoditized nursing, right? And kind of isolated them. What's your thoughts on that?
That's totally true, but I mean, really, they've been commoditized the entire time they've been a profession. It's a female-dominated workforce, much like teachers, that, sorry to say, but men usually say, well, we can tell you how to do it better.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. These are professionals. They want autonomy. They want the responsibility, and they know what they're doing. And they also needed to be paid better and have much better working conditions.
Yeah.
And that's what our healthcare system needs. So I think marketers, most of us, we know this, and we really need to step up to the plate and talk to our leadership about how we're going to transform the work environment for our nurses so that we are employers that they want to work for.
Yeah, it's almost like applying all the things that we do for consumers now to our nursing audience, right? Trying to understand what their needs are, and then using the tools that we have at our disposal to really start to shape those experiences, right?
That's exactly right. One of our clients, she told me, this is our number one service line, and why aren't we treating it as such? So I'm taking a marketing approach with them, lead gen, nurturing, the long journey there. Why wouldn't I treat it just like a consumer?
So I'm in Minnesota. Our nurses just went on strike.
Yes, right? I saw that.
And it's very challenging, right? What's our way through? Do you think marketing is, we're at the table now, but how can we help kind of shift this in our industry?
Look, it's tough, especially when nurses are organizing, they're raising their voices about what they want, need, and that puts your health system right on the front lines of pressure. I think every health system needs to have a vision for what they will step up and do for nurses and other clinicians, including physicians, by the way. Med students are organizing. There's been talk by Eric Topol years ago about why physicians should be in a union. Yeah, so I think you need to have a vision about what your commitment is to make things better. I don't think any nurse expects things to change overnight, and they certainly understand the realities of the business. But you at least need to have a vision of what you're committed to doing to make things better, and that needs to be talked about publicly.
Great insights into this. And I mean, people that are listening are going to want to know a little bit more about you and your organization. How can they do that?
Thanks, Chris. Please go to reviveagency.com. We're an integrated marketing agency that really work with healthcare companies that are leading the way.
Awesome. Well, we'll put the link in the show notes. Thanks again.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm here with Jessica from Care Sherpa. Jessica, you've been on the show before, but people listening in, they may want to know more about you. A little bit of background.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for asking me to come on today. So yes, Care Sherpa, Jessica Walker, and we support patients in the last mile of their journey for elective procedures and service lines. Really passionate about patient and employee experiences.
So here at Shishman 22, mm-hmm. we're all here. We're hearing a lot of things that are going on. There's a lot of different trends that are we're discussing right now, because we're kind of in this, wouldn't call it post-pandemic, but we're mm-hmm. coming out of it, and we're and there's a lot of issues. What are you hearing from your people you're talking to?
It's been really interesting. The two main themes I've been hearing this whole time has been around staff turnover and how that's impacting marketing's ability to move patients forward and grow volume, in addition to budget cuts. So those two pressures on our marketing friends create this perfect storm of how do I have the ability to grow when I don't have people and now I don't have any money. So looking for alternative outsourced partners such as Care Sherpa to help support them, other ways to digitize the patient experience. And so I think it's really kind of creating that influx of like a major flashpoint in our industry.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do work with outsource partners. I mean, mm-hmm. that's since I've been in this space.
Yes.
I mean, there's been, always have outsource partners, mm-hmm. but I think the shift of who those outsource partners are is, mm-hmm. shift is different, right?
It is, and I think that there's now more of a appetite to then look at new partners, and I don't want to go so far as to say innovation, because some organizations still, it's a scary word, big change, right? Mm-hmm. But these little micro pilots of organizations, that have grown to be able to come in and say, let's try something different, let's prove the model so that our executives can see that, we're not going to completely disrupt our processes, but then show the incremental change. And I think that that's what the shift, and they have to, right? Mm-hmm. So we can't afford a big boom, and so let's look at other micro projects.
I was talking to Ed Bennett earlier, mm-hmm. and he was saying that he's also noticing that a lot of these vendors are partnering together in new ways.
Yes.
And that's always been a challenge too, because mm-hmm. that's not a natural thing, right? If you outsource, because there's a lot of overlap. What are
yeah.
you seeing there?
No, very much so. I would say that your smart partners are doing that. So Care Sherpa, as an example, partners closely with Eruptor, Lion Share, Deliver Health, and that is the exact reason, is that we know we're better together. If I can integrate and make your life easier as a marketer, then it helps you from a frictionless experience. And so I think that the great partners are open to this and will embrace the change.
Right, and you have to have a sort of mindset too, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the other
yes.
thing, right? It's like, we're not competing anymore.
No,
we're all trying to lift the boat, right?
We have a mindset at Care Sherpa, which is if you're doing the right thing by the patient, you're doing the right thing. Well, we extend that also to our client partners. If you're doing the right thing by the client, then you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that our friendlies or other organizations, that's at the end of the day, we want to take care of our partners. Mm-hmm. And so if that's your driving force, then absolutely, why would you not?
I think that's really important to say, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, I remember, you know, we would try to get all these partners together in like a big
summit or something.
But it's really about finding the right mindset of those people that are working to work together. I love that.
Well, and like Private Health News and I were talking about another shared client partner, and we brought in another organization and said, okay, they have this problem. How can we be better together and help bring a solution to them? And it's a proactive approach, right? Like, if I'm really tied into what you are struggling with and what your issues are, and if I can bring a solution, and sometimes it may not even be business for what we're doing, but like, I want to help you. And we call that the service heart. And so again, leading with that, having that in the best mindset. And if you look around this trade show floor, right, there's been lots of changes in partners, but the ones who are here consistently, I believe they do that because they are consistent with their relationships and their outcomes.
Right, exactly. And you know, much like we in hospitals and health systems, we kind of look for what other people are doing and how are they doing it better. It's similar mindset here now.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's really, I think it's a really profound approach to how you manage your relationships, where you take your vendors and you elevate them to become really your partners in the future growth.
Well, it's a trust thing, right? Yeah. If we think about this industry, we joke it's a one degree of separation relationship, right?
Yeah.
I've been in the space for 15 years. I know you've been obviously long, you know, the relationships, and that's where you get elevated because you know who you can trust to work with. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, do you deliver? Are you consistent? And do you do the right thing? And so, you know, ultimately those are the organizations that are going to continue to last.
Yeah, we said this earlier, right? Yeah. Like, your reputation precedes you.
100%.
In this space. Great conversation, Jessica. So where people can find you?
Thanks, Chris. So Jessica Walker with Care Sherpa, caresherpa.com. Find me on LinkedIn. Love to have like more connections there. So thank you so much.
Cute little llamas.
All the way.
I love it.
Thanks,
Chris. All right. I'm here with Greg Gossett. And Greg, tell us where you're from.
I'm from Denver with HealthAware.
With HealthAware, right. And you've been on the show before.
I have.
Right? Yeah. So, but now HealthAware is part of a larger ecosystem of companies, right? So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we joined forces with Medicom and Eruptor because we really see the value in generating the lead and tying it together to the converting the lead. Mm-hmm. And so we've worked with each other for many years, and so we came together.
Yeah.
And then Medicom was our competitor. We said, let's just join forces.
Join forces, right.
And now it's the best of both worlds. They did things differently than us, and now we're doing everything together.
Right, exactly. And really, when you talk about everything together, it's really about building this dynamic sort of, I don't want to call it patient experience, but it's like a healthcare consumer experience.
Well, it is. And you know, you think about the whole journey of during the conversion process.
Yeah.
There's other vendors. We love the ecosystem concept. Working with, tying in with other vendors and API with them. I think that's really powerful. And the hospitals like that too, because they don't want to quarterback everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we come to the table and say, yeah, we integrate with them, that's helpful. Right,
right, exactly.
And they don't rely on just one vendor to do everything, because that's usually like, you know, that's like a triathlete who does kind of everything a little bit worse. Than,
exactly. Right, you know. And the reason why that's happening, I think, the trend is because we have found that healthcare consumer cannot fit like one segmented journey, right? I mean, we always like to do these patient journeys or customer journeys, but it's very complex, right?
It's very complex. And so what we're looking at right now, we will have hard data on this soon, as we already know, we've looked at this before, we're going to have more current data now, but we know that like when a consumer takes a heart HRA, about 18%, 20% will end up present in ortho.
Whoa.
And so, and you know, another like 15% will present in GI. And so we have to look at the patient holistically, right? Because, and that's why the concept of a singular funnel really doesn't make sense from the consumer perspective. And we're going to really start proving that out. And so.
Wow. Wait, I'm stuck with that, right? 18%.
Yeah, a lot. I mean,
that take an orthopedic HRA,
a heart
HRA,
actually
end up in orthopedics.
Absolutely. Well, think about it. They're morbidly obese or obese, most of them that take the HRA.
Right.
So naturally, they're going to have mobility issues.
Right.
The average age is 55. So, and same with GI. They're really interested in weight loss.
Uh-huh.
So we really need to look at all the different ways to attract a consumer. And it's not just this service line needs you.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is who you are and we want to talk to you as a consumer. So
the entire consumer needs you for multiple different reasons.
Well, and give them like, they might want to come in the front door, the back door. They might want to go up to the, in, given many doors to come through.
Right.
And so.
Right. And, you know, and I think about like hospitals and health systems. I mean, it's not, you're not saying that service line approaches are not important, right? They are.
They're critical.
There are certain people that are on that journey to get knee replacement or whatever, or heart heart surgery or what have you.
And, but, when they're in the service line, that's, you want them to be specialized, right? You really want that.
Right.
But the journey getting there might be through other service lines too.
Right.
And so what we're seeing that, and same thing if they take like joint to wear, they can present in cardiovascular.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's kind of opening the funnel now, right, to all of those, like you said, like the entire healthcare consumer now.
Yeah.
And that really kind of threads the needle between good, strong service line development strategies, but also kind of this whole health approach. I don't like to use that term, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah. Or consumer-centric. To be really consumer-centric means like, all right, I'm going to talk to this person differently than this person, et cetera. And so I think we're going to be seeing more just focus on that in the coming years. Yeah. We will be.
Yeah.
For sure, recognizing that. And so more personalized.
Greg, this has been a really interesting conversation. I mean, I know these topics are coming up in the conference here. You know, people listening in, they might want to know more about HealthAware, right? So tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, well, healthaware.com is our website. Contact us there. Our numbers are on their emails. Either way, we'll respond immediately. And we have all kinds of sample HRAs. And if we know who you are, where you're from, I can actually give you examples of what healthcare systems like yours are doing with our HRAs and how they're successful with them.
Very valuable.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time.
You bet.
And so ends my field reporting here at ShushMed 2022 at National Harbor in Maryland. It's been a really interesting conference. A lot of exciting things that we've been talking about, and clearly you can see the topics that are top of mind to all of us here are around recruiting, retention, ongoing patient engagement, patient experience. This conference has been full of lots of great content, so encourage everyone that is participating in these conferences before to attend next year and keep in touch with all the things that are going on. And speaking of which, if you want to keep in touch with things, make sure to jump out to touchpoint.health. That is our website where you can learn not only all about our podcast, everything that Reed and I record and others on our network record, but you can also jump out to the TPS report. It's a little link at the very top of the screen. Subscribe. It's a weekly email. Not only will we share with you latest articles and other things across the industry, but we'll inform you of future upcoming healthcare conferences. So, for Reed Smith, I'm Chris Boyer, and we will be back next week with some regular programming.
This has been a Touchpoint Media production. To learn more about this show and others like it, please visit us online at touchpoint.health.